We want to shift our focus now away from the manhunt here in Boston, a city locked down today because the aftermath of the Boston Marathon shootings involves individuals who are suffering extraordinary casualties, casualties that we saw on Monday, but which are really associated with IEDs and the kinds of injuries that we've seen tragically for so long in Afghanistan and in Iraq. Here to talk about the legacy of those injuries and the medical expertise that needs to be brought to bear on recovery for the individuals who are still in Boston hospitals as we speak is Dr. Paul Huddleston, an orthopedic surgeon from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. He's division chair of spine surgery at the Mayo Clinic. He's also a colonel in the Army Reserve with lots of experience with combat injuries and with combat-style medicine. Dr. Huddleston, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, John, and welcome to the opportunity.
What do you think needed to be brought to bear to, allow the individuals to recover and really survive these kinds of injuries? I suspect what we saw on Monday was very familiar to you.
Unfortunately so, John. The trauma that you see with this is very accurately reflected in the casualties that we've seen in the conflicts overseas. Fortunately, there is a nucleus now of surgeons in the Army Reserve and in the active duty that have come off those experiences that have brought and built a wealth of knowledge that the Boston patients will undoubtedly benefit from. But it's going to be a long, hard journey.
And Massachusetts General particularly said it relied on a lot of military expertise in upgrading its ER services and were very gratified to have done that in advance of this tragedy. What are they talking about specifically there?
I look at the traumas and the impact on the system really on three levels. One, there's the emotional trauma to the patients, obviously, the public or the witnesses to the event, as well as often overlooked the caregivers themselves. Then there's the operational expertise, what you and I would know as the organization necessary to take care of this group of patients efficiently. And then there's the downstream, after all the dust is settled, metaphorically, the moving on, the rehabilitation project, and all the wounds that require physical care, but the emotional wounds and the lifelong scars that the patients will need to get over.
Really, this conversation is part of the scarring that we've seen in the United States since 9/11. As a medical doctor, would you say that the ability to handle on-scene amputation kinds of injuries, bleed-out kinds of injuries that we saw in Boston, that we would not have the expertise to have handled that on Monday but for the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq?
I think that's accurate. They're very real, tangible, technological and methodological developments that have come from the war the war effort, the war damage, and it's always tragic to think that. But in this instance, where there's so much damage, tragedy, and a lot of work to be done, it is one bright point to see that there's been a lot of science that's moved forward with this.
Although, as a medical doctor, I'm wondering what the emotional dimensions are. You've been in battle zones. You've had four deployments since 2001. You've seen injuries that I suspect it crossed your mind on in the combat field hospital that you would be grateful never to see in the civilian world, but here we're seeing it. What does that mean to you and for all of us?
You just can't overlook, and I think it's worth pausing and just focusing on that aspect. I mean, the good people of Boston, the providers there, have fortunately a robust medical system. They've been able to flex and leverage the knowledge from gained from the conflicts and from the military medicine aspect. But not just the patients, but the staff themselves are going to have to, have debriefings. They're going to need to be treated in some way, special with kid gloves also, because the scars there can haunt the providers for many years to come. Post-traumatic stress syndrome is not just something, that's predisposed to the sufferers, the original people that were injured. The physicians, the nurses, the EMTs, the reporters, everybody that was there is at risk.
You know, I wonder if you could give me your best bedside manner, Dr. Huddleston, if there's somebody in a bedroom in Boston today who is facing a lifetime of amputation, of looking forward to prosthetics and the kinds of healing that's going to be required to return to something like a normal life. Based on your experience, can you, in your own words, tell that person that there is hope based on your knowledge of the medical expertise going forward?
Absolutely. They should not despair. In fact, there's been enormous efforts, large sums of money in multidisciplinary programs of people funded through the department, the Defense Department, as well as collaborations between my main professional body, the Academy, American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, and the military. We have had for six, seven years now joint meetings sharing the knowledge in the Extremity War Symposium that occurs in Washington, D.C., to disseminate that. The Academy has made information freely available now on their website at aaos.org for all providers that are in that area to tap into that knowledge learned, so that all the suffering and the recovery, some great recovery stories from the soldiers, sailors, and airmen overseas that have served our country in these last 10 years or so, that knowledge is not wasted, and now it's here, and our citizens can benefit from that.
Lessons from the combat zone brought home here, tragically, but hopefully, to the city of Boston, the scene of combat-style injuries this week because of the marathon bombings. Dr. Paul Huddleston, thanks so much.
Thank you much, sir.
Dr. Huddleston is a colonel in the Army Reserve. He's division chair of spine surgery at the Mayo Clinic and the Army Reserve. Thanks so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.